You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, the Reds, this is the Cup of Tea Show, and this morning I have got Ashley Brown from the Football Supporters Association. Ashley is the head of supporter engagement and governance, and we thought it'd be good to get him on because currently I think there's a lot of football fans who are looking at their role in life, I think, and saying, well, what can I do about the madness that is football? Ashley, tell us about your role in the madness that is football. Tell us a little bit about your background.
So I got into working in football through my club, Portsmouth. I'm a Pompey fan, lifelong Pompey fan. And I found myself as chairman of the Supporters Trust at a time when the club was going through a major crisis. Went through its second administration in a couple of years, tens of millions of pounds in debt. And the Supporters Trust, a short version of the story, we fought a battle for over a year to raise money, fight off a high court battle, save the club and take the club over. And found myself actually being a director of the club that I'd supported all my life for four and a bit years. So coming from being a supporter activist over time to actually being a director of the club was quite a change. And that sort of triggered my career change. I've ended up working for the Football Supporters Association, leading on a lot of the work that we do around major governance reform of football and also how better clubs should engage with their fans.
And on that, Ashley, I mean, there's lots of chat, certainly in the Liverpool bubble, I expect in many other clubs' bubbles, about, you know, getting a fan on the boards, about 50 plus one, about, you know, all these various changes in how football's run. What are your views on all that? Obviously, the Super League's meant that all of a sudden this is in the spotlight. But from my experience, and I guess yours, it's been in the spotlight before and nothing's really happened.
Yeah, it's been in the spotlight for years. And we've been lobbying steadily and progressively for change. But what the one good thing that's come out of the European Super League is it's really made government sit up a notice. They brought forward the announcement of their fan-led review of football reform. They're starting to talk about things such as 50 plus one. I'm not sure they really understand what 50 plus one is, but regardless, the door is open and we certainly intend to push it. If you look, I mean, could we immediately take on 50 plus one in this country from an equity perspective? We have to be realistic. That's not going to happen. If you look at, like, you know, Liverpool, the value of Liverpool, you can't suddenly nationalise Liverpool. But what we do have to do, and what we will be petitioning for and lobbying for in the review, is real fan influence and real fan representation. So where there isn't a realistic option for supporters to buy in significantly to own their club, we still have to make sure that clubs like Liverpool, fans have influence and representation. That should be representation at board level, but it should be influence at all levels of the club as well.
On the thing at board level, and I'm really interested that you said, you know, you've been involved as a director. I see some of our fans saying it's not realistic because what their argument, or some fans' argument, is that if you're on the board, you have to think in the business interests of a football club rather than the football fans' interest. You know, it's your role. You know, if you look at Companies House, what a director should be doing, if you like, you know, what they're saying is you for instance should be voting for a Super League, not saying no, that's wrong in a sporting sense. Do you know what I mean? There's a conflict there, isn't there?
There is absolutely a conflict. It's not an easy role to do. It's not something that everybody would particularly enjoy. You've got to be a certain type of character to put up with it. But what if you have a fan elected director? The key thing is that their main responsibility on that board is to represent the fans, to somebody that understands not just the way the fans are, but the heritage of the club, the community, you know, Liverpool as a whole, and make sure that that voice is heard in all decisions. Now, of course, you can be conflicted. You are a director and responsible for certain businesses, and that can be where the role becomes difficult. But equally, certainly what I've found in my time is that, you know, transparency and being able to talk about why decisions are made, that helps. That helps fans understand it. The European Super League, it's a tricky one. Of course, if you're a board member making a purely financial decision, then the European Super League is perhaps the way that you want to go. But it's not that straightforward a decision to make, though, is it? Because the Liverpool Football Club is far more than European competition. So I don't think in that particular decision you'd necessarily be conflicted. You might disagree with the rest of your board, because you're putting over the views of how you think the club's fans and the community might react to it. And therefore, I don't think you're conflicted, because you have to, in the football club terms, football clubs are different. Legally, at the moment, perhaps not. But they are different. They are assets of community value. Supporters should almost be considered shareholders, because they are the most important stakeholders.
I think the other one that we hear a lot when we're talking about this on the Anfield Wrap is people say, who would want to do it? So, you know, I know at the Anfield Wrap that we know lads who work for the football club, for instance, and you know, good lads with the values in the right place and stuff like that. But, you know, they were as shafted as anyone by John Henry doing what he did the other week, you know, because they wear the badge, they represent the club. And so they get a load of stick for something they've done, they've had nothing to do with. Do you know what I mean? They didn't make that decision. Yeah. They've been consulted. Was there a bit of that for you when you were involved at Portsmouth? Were people calling you in the pub and things like that?
All the time, yeah. You become very visible. Obviously, we never had to make a European Super League decision at Portsmouth. Yeah. Didn't have that complication. But yeah, it does become... in a way, football becomes less enjoyable. I've been watching my club for 50 years, and you know, if you're a long-term fan, particularly of a fan of a club that's been up and down the leagues and played in the lower leagues, you kind of get used to a bit of failure. You know, you lose 2-0 at home, you go down the pub, you have a moan with your mates, you're back next Saturday and you start again. Kind of get used to that. You become a director of the club, and you know, you've heard this sort of saying before about seeing a manager on the touchline who, you know, kicks every single ball. You become that director sat in the director's box, and you know, a loss, it really is really, really painful, because you know how it impacts everybody else that's in that stadium. And you know, Portsmouth might not be Liverpool, but we're not a small club. And you know, it's a one club city, and so you walk around the town, and yeah, everybody wants to talk to you. Everybody wants to have their say. So you have to take that on board. And I speak to a lot of people that have just started in the role or thinking about taking on the role of supporter directors, and I spend just as much time trying to put them off as I do encourage them. Because if you don't realise the downsides of it before you go into it, then you know, then that's no good. And you have to be the right sort of person. You have to realise that it's not all you know, free tickets and prawn sandwiches and you know, hobnobbing with whoever. There's a lot of hard work to do to represent fans, and you're not always going to be liked.
Yeah, on that as well. I mean, I always say it's sort of mad how things have changed. You know, I grew up just, you know, going to Anfield with my mates, watching the match, having a pint, and that was kind of it. And then all of a sudden now, you know, I'm reading accounts, I'm reading proposals from the government. you know what I mean? I'm following Tracy Crouch to see what's happening next. You know, it's mad. It's a bit mad, isn't it? That it's come to this, that we feel we've got to step in as football fans and move away from what is traditionally just, you know, wave a scarf, cheer, shout, have a pint. Now we're saying, well, we're going to have to fight back here because these people aren't running our football clubs properly.
Yeah, it is sad, you know, and Gareth, I'm far sadder than you. You know, I spend all my time reading, you know, not just my own club's accounts, but all sorts of clubs' accounts and lobbying government and talking about all sorts of things that I shouldn't be talking about. I should be talking about how crap our striker is and why he scored an own goal not in the 96th minute of our game on Tuesday. But it's crept up on us, I guess is the point. It's crept up on us and... Historically, fan activism in the last few decades has always been centred around a crisis. You know, we had Berry sadly disappear a couple of years ago. Wigan had been in administration. Macclesfield get into trouble. Three clubs there in the northwest. My own club rose out of crisis. You know, the supporters took charge and rose out of crisis. We turned the club around, balanced the books, got promoted out of League Two. And it became an attractive proposition for a billionaire. And that was the downside. So all of this has crept up on us. And most supporters who are supporting clubs that are just sort of trundling on and not going into those crises aren't aware or haven't been aware, quite understandably, of the direction that football's going. And, you know, coming back to my point from earlier, what happened with the European Super League is it really put it in everybody's minds. You know, this is what's happened to football. And it's time to fight back. And hopefully now we're going to have the opportunity to with the review, and hopefully fans across the country are equally going to realise this is my chance to have a say, perhaps a once-in-a-lifetime chance to really change football for the better for the long term.
Yeah, on that, I think there's a lot of people, and I speak for myself here as well, where I'm really conflicted about, you know, well, what can I do? Do you know what I mean? What can I do to make a difference right now? Because I'd love to do something that makes a difference. I'd love for the club to be run in a different way. Equally, I'd quite like us to get fourth, and you know, I'd like us to get in the Champions League. So I'm still trying to be your traditional supporter at the same time. For your ordinary fan, for your person on the street, for your person who's got a hangover this morning like me, you know, what can we do? You know, what can we do to make a difference right now, do you think?
The real power of fans is when they join together and work together. And it's a big frustration of mine, you know, when I work with supporters around the country, is that often even supporter groups of single clubs end up in conflict. And if only they were together, so much more can be achieved. So, you know, of course, there's the national organisation, the Football Supporters Association, free to join. You can join us. We're fighting all the time for supporter rights and not just the boring stuff. You know, we're doing ticket pricing, kickoff times, travel, all the real stuff that bothers a match going fan. And then, you know, locally, you know, pretty much every club has got an organisation, at least one organisation that really fights for your rights, both locally and nationally. You guys have got Spirit of Shankly. Yeah. So, you know, join Spirit of Shankly, get involved there. It's when we work together that we're more effective. That's how we really invoke change.
And I think on that as well, people are cynical about it, aren't they, Ashley? But we have had some wins. I mean, you know, the cap on away ticket prices and things like that. There have been wins that have come from supporter activism.
Yeah, there has. And, you know, we're pretty much getting there on safe standing as well. You know, that's going to happen sooner or later. Ticket pricing, that, you know, there are small wins, and football has made improvements. So, you know, it's not a lost cause, but this time, you know, and somebody that's worked around this area for quite a few years, this time I really believe there is an opportunity for change. You know, we've heard government promises before, nothing's been delivered. This time I've got more faith than ever before that something's going to be happened. Fans are being made front and centre of the review that Tracy Crouch is leading. She's going to go and meet with fans from all areas of the country. She'll be up in the northwest sometime in the next few weeks or months to speak to fans of not just Liverpool, but other clubs around the northwest. She will be listening. And we just have to trust that this time they're going to actually act. And if football doesn't respond positively to the request, then we have to hope that government's going to legislate. You know, and one of the key asks that we have across all of this is that we have an element of independent regulator, a new independent regulator of football, who has some control over what clubs can and can't do, and make sure that our game is sustainable. You know, you said, you know, you're a Liverpool fan, you want Liverpool to get in the Champions League. Liverpool's one of the biggest clubs in the country or in the world, no doubt about that whatsoever. But hopefully you and other fans also respect a lot of other clubs in the pyramid.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got City of Liverpool, a fan-owned club, you know, up there where people are working hard to down lower in the pyramid. You've got people that follow teams that have never got any hope of getting in the Champions League, but they still enjoy watching their team. They still want to survive and they still dream of that promotion, even if it's a promotion from tier five to tier four or winning the FA Vase or winning the FA Trophy, not winning the Champions League. For those fans, it's just as important. And that solidarity that we see across football fans, you know, we all have our banter, we all have our rivalries, but at the end of the day, most football fans don't want to see another football club disappear. Mm-hmm. So to work, find a way that it works for everybody, that the pyramid is supported, and that our game continues in this country to be, you know, one of the most admired and deep-rooted in the world.
Have you got faith, Ashley, that it's different this time? Because, as I say, this has been on the agenda before. I think in the days of Gordon Brown, there was talk of football reform and things like that, and you know, me being cynical, politicians of all colours, I've seen them jump on the bandwagon when it suits, really. And I'm a little bit worried that this is that again, because, you know, European Super League put it at the top of the agenda. And then all of a sudden, you know, Boris Johnson's on about making legislation and blah, 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 blah. But I kind of think, you know, if something happened to rugby next week, he'd jump on that.
I can't make any promises. And certainly I still have elements of cynicism, and I think that I'd be sitting here saying that the moment for change is happening under a Conservative government. No, not at all. You know, I always thought that if someone was going to really change football, it would come from perhaps from the Labour Party. But we are where we are. You know, we work closely historically with Tracy when she was sports minister, and equally since.
She's genuinely a football fan as well, isn't she?
She's a football fan. She tells us she's genuinely committed to change. I'm hearing noises from the football authorities themselves that they at last are starting to accept that things need to change. I think the European Super League and the Project Big Picture scared the Premier League. They were really worried about the threat of those six clubs disappearing and having to have that battle. So I'm not going to sit here and make any promises, and I hope that in a year's time you're not inviting me back to talk about all the things that went wrong. Hopefully in a year's time you invite me back to talk about all the positive things that came out of the review. And you know, we will, as the FSA, we'll be certainly trying our best to make sure that we get some positive things come out of the review.
When this interview goes out there, it will be the other side of it. But could you just talk a little bit, Ashley, about the blackouts on social media and Football Supporters Association's role in that?
We've all seen the horrific rise again of racial, homophobic abuse, etc. And I think that what we've seen with the growth in social media is a platform that allows people to sort of do that freely, sat at home on the keyboard, and also anonymously. And I think that's part of the problem that encourages more of it out there. It's not acceptable. You know, you and I both know that the vast majority of football fans are not like that and hugely against it. But the social media platforms continue to let it happen. And, you know, this is one of the positive areas that supporters can work with the Premier League and the Football League, etc. You know, we've historically had discussions with them. They approached us a little over a week ago, the Premier League and the other bodies, and said, look, we're trying to pull together a sort of a group action here. We want everybody on board, players, managers, supporters. Would you co-sign the letter with us? And it was an absolute no-brainer for us straight away. Yeah, we'll sign it. And it's grown. And, you know, it's, I guess it's sending a message. It's sending a message not just to the social media companies that they need to do something here, but it's sending a message out that it's not acceptable, that the vast majority of us that have anything to do with football don't want this abuse. It needs to stop. And we're all joined up to say that message together.
And just finally, I mentioned before about sort of people wanting to get involved with things, and you said about sort of signing up to FSA and signing up to Spirit of Shankly, which are both excellent advice there. But is there anything else? Is there anything? Should people be writing to their MPs? Should people write to newspapers? It does feel like, to me, and I'm sure to you as well, that there is a real opportunity here. And it's just sort of, you mentioned coming together and being on the same page, all stuff we agree with. It's just what we do. Is there anything else individuals can do, do you think, right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Writing to your MPs is always a good thing. And we refresh our advice on our website and on our social media when we're using it. As to what best to say and who to say it to. So you can always keep track there. But right now you can write to your MP, you can call out the review, you can say how important you feel the review is, that you want. You'd ask your MP to write to both Tracy Crouch and the sports minister, encourage them to actually act on the review and change football for the better. Because, you know, at some point, particularly if this does get to legislation, maybe even as early as the autumn, then MPs are going to have to vote on it. And although we'll issue more advice and guidance that time, if you start getting those MPs on board now, telling them how important football is to you, why it matters to the community and why it needs to change, then that'll help.
What would be the ideal for you? If it was up to you, if you could draw a blueprint, if you could write the review yourself, and we emerged the other side of a different world, what would be your ideal?
I'm going to give you the briefest advance of answers here, because we've got pages and pages of we put into the review. So a few big things: the independent regulator that needs to be put in place, and the regulator will have elements of control about financial solidarity, improved financial controls, level of debt. Removal of assets such as football grounds from ownership needs to be protected. Improved support or engagement will be part of that. And the regulator will have real teeth. It will be able to properly enforce things, but it will also be there to help and educate the smaller clubs that are struggling, that are in difficulty, you know, to step in and help them, not just immediately punish them. Punishment is only there for the long term and the repeat offenders. What we want to do is everybody to run their club properly. Mm. We need to have a right to buy for supporters. Supporters need the option to buy into their club up to a 51%. That's not going to be for everyone, but it might be useful at a lower level of football in particular. But on top of that, we should look for something such as, I'll use the term golden share, where a local supporters trust of a club can own a golden share in their club, no specific equitable value, but does have certain rights, including board representation, including certain vetoes around heritage, such as change of colour, change of band, change of name, move of ground, what competition that you should be playing in, etc. So thereby giving some of the things that we're most passionate about, that it might seem crazy that anyone would ever consider changing Liverpool to play from red to blue. But these things have happened elsewhere in football and we need to protect them. So those are some of the headline points. It's really getting a grip of our football pyramid, making it sustainable, making it competitive, retaining that competitive integrity so that everyone can get promoted, everyone can get their dream cup draw. Everyone's got a chance of winning. You just need that bit of luck and getting the right team together. And that's one of the things that we've been losing in football. So no more loss of integrity, no more loss of historic football clubs, no more loss of historic football grounds. Protect those things that are really important that made our game so great.
Absolutely. Brilliant. And if people are listening and thinking, has he just said a football club moving to another place. And he has, and me and Ashley will remember this, but there might be people listening who don't. So if you think that's mad, just look up Wimbledon and Dublin and come back to me. Ashley, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on this morning. Thanks for joining us on the Anfield Wrap. That has been The Cup of Tea with Ashley from Football Supporters Association. Sports Social Podcast Network.